This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Webcast.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on
Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.
Welcome to episode 258 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 28th of September 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, Steve, Jacob, myself, Andrew, and show regular Paul Carey from Sydney. And our special guest today is a Tech Webcast favourite, Hannah Silver, who is going to sing for us on the show. So I'm really looking forward to that. And how are you today, Brad?
I am going fantastic. And you, mate?
Good, mate. I'm doing very well. Thank you. It's Saturday. It's sunny for now, and the grand final is on TV in about 2.5 hours.
Are you looking for it? Yay. Who are you going to go for?
I really don't know. I mean, I sort of was Hawthorn, but now I'm thinking Fremantle, so I'm going for a good game, as they say.
Really? That's good stuff.
Hawthorn.
How's your week been, mate? Andrew, by the way?
Yeah, it's been really good. Been busy, just another week, basically. Nothing to write home about, just working away. And yeah, can't complain. What about yourself, Brad?
It's been fantastic. You've upgraded to the iPhone 5.
I have. I've got the iPhone 5. I have upgraded to your old phone, I believe, and I'm enjoying it very much. It's a great handset, and I know a few people have got the 5S.
Yes, the 5S rocks. What else has been happening? Any news with Zafo, Andrew, at all you want to report on, mate?
Not a whole lot of news. We're moving in the right direction with our app. There's a few little things here and there, but we are confidently stepping forward, and you know, we'll have some news hopefully sooner rather than later. I probably say that every week, every month, but we are going to do this one day, people. It is going to happen.
It will happen in about probably 2 million years. We've got Paul on from Sydney. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, how you going, Brad?
Good to have you back on, mate. You got a new app out. It's been updated for iOS 7.
Yeah, it just got updated a few days ago, so yay.
And
surprisingly, they approved it within 3 days, which was a shock for me, because usually they take 7 to 10 days to do it.
What about for a new app, Paul? How long does it take to get approved for a new app?
It took me 7 days, but I believe it can take between 7 and 10 days, depending on how busy Apple is at that time of the year.
Okay, well, I'm waiting for a new app to come out from Ping Email, which is going to be a great app when it comes out. Check it out when it comes out. We've got Jacob on. Welcome, Jacob.
Thank you, Brad. How was your day?
It's gone fantastic. I can still hear that fan in the background.
Hey, at least we don't hear the tea kettle anymore.
No, that's correct. That's a different story. It was last week.
And he's not typing.
No, he's not. And that was... okay, that was so random. Jacob? Now you just messed me up. We've got Jody on. Welcome, Jody. Back again.
Hey, thank you for having me, Brad. How are you doing?
No problem. You're also on Dan Show Hangout.
Google Plus Week.
Google Plus Week, yes. Yes, hello to Dan.
Yeah, and this week there's been a ton of things happening with Google, not the least of which has to do with the Hangouts and the Hummingbird release that they did this week for search. So a lot of stuff to talk about there.
Good stuff, good stuff. Also got Steve back on. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Very busy week for me, too. Of course, next Friday, I'm going to be covering RealmsCon for 3 days. And if I get the details worked out, I might be streaming my tech show and or the tech webcast live on location at RealmsCon 2013.
That's going to be so cool, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll still work it out, and hopefully it'll work.
Yep, it will work for sure. And we have got Hannah on. Welcome, Hannah.
Hello, thank you.
You sound so clear today.
Clear, yeah, because I'm on the good microphone.
Last time you were on the laptop microphone.
Last time I thought I was on the good microphone and I had the wrong settings on. So I was talking into the microphone the whole time and it didn't even work. So I was a right dill, as they say.
Yes. Andrew.
Brad.
Jump in some news, mate.
I think I'm going to let Jody do the news as normal.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. Jody.
The other Andrew.
Yeah. I know we look alike, but
yeah,
and we talk alike.
I was just trying.
Okay, well, this week we have some interesting news about ride-sharing companies, which are not going to shut down in Seattle. I guess you didn't know that they were contemplating shutting down, but apparently, ride-sharing startups like Sidecar, Lyft, and UberX can continue to operate in Seattle without regulation for now. The Seattle City Council Committee on Taxi for Hire and Limousine Regulations discussed possible elements of a permanent overall regulation reform package and what rules should be made in the interim. I'm not really quite sure what this has to do with Tech Webcast.
That's what I can't work out. Who put this? Who put this in the show notes? Jacob did. Jacob, can I ask why this story was so cool, mate?
Because don't you use Ride App, something like that, on your iPhone to get a taxi?
No, I don't, mate. I do not use that app. It's not even available in Australia. So let's
Doesn't even know what ride sharing is yet.
Yeah, that's just random. Jacob, please do not add stories in that we do not know about, okay?
Well, I mean, it could be interesting. Okay. If it had to do with the Google cars and like, you know, the way that they drive without a driver, right?
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Hell yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So
okay.
There's a lot of conjecture about that whole thing, but in other news, STIRS Kinetic Desk is a standing desk that learns your sitting habits and moves when you need a break. So apparently, if Apple were to build a desk, it would look kind of like this desk does, much like Nest, maker of the world's sexiest thermometer. STIRS is a company that is founded by someone who worked on the first iPods, and it, too, is trying to make a mundane household item fashionable. In this case, of course, the product in question isn't a thermostat or even a home appliance, but it is a standing desk. It's a kinetic desk. Supposedly, it's going to ship in the first half of 2014. Now, get this. It has a thermal sensor that can tell when you've arrived, and over time, it learns how long you prefer to be on your feet before taking a break. To lower the desk over its 26-inch range, you double-tap the built-in touchscreen located on the left end, and from there, you can set goals, like standing for 25% of the day. You can see how many extra calories you've burned, monitor how much time you've spent sitting. So it's a kinetic desk.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Is there a price on that desk, Jody?
Let's see. It looks like it's only $3,890.
Let's figure
that. Up.
Okay, that's
starting price.
That's just but
I guess
buy many of those.
It's like getting a car, but different.
Can we backtrack a moment? Can we backtrack, Jody? Did you say in your report there that there was a company that had made the sexiest thermometer?
Apparently.
Is that what you said?
I was actually about to Google that, because that's...
Because I'm like, well, okay, that makes sense, because if you've got to take your temperature and you've got to stick it up your ass, at least you want something that's going to look sexy, right?
You know what, Jenna, I know very little about the sexy thermometer, but apparently...
They must be talking about the thermostat for the house. I don't maybe.
Yeah, it is a thermostat. It does say world's sexiest thermostat.
Wow.
Oops.
But that's okay, Anna. We know where your mind went. That's okay.
I just hey,
that,
confused.
One, that one would hurt.
There's a song right there, Hannah. World's sexiest thermometer. Dry vending machine sales crazy.
I'll get on it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, like, do you think you would invest in a standing desk that takes your temperature and knows how long you've been on your butt?
That's an image I didn't need.
Let's go to...
Well, at least know where to put the thermostat.
No. Let's go to Andrew. Would you buy that table, mate?
In all honesty, I would. I think it's great. I mean, I've got three or four guys that work with me, and I'm constantly, I've got to get up, leave my desk and walk around and chat, make sure everyone, hey, you know, any questions, how you going, what are you working on, where are you up to?
Yeah.
I think if you're standing, you're going to be compelled to do that more than if you're comfortable in sitting. So that could actually be better for me, because right, I'm not going to be like, oh, I've got to get up and go for a walk around and do this and do that. If I'm standing, I'll be on my feet, bouncing around, chatting, making sure everyone's on schedule. So I think it's good. I like it.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Hannah? Would you be buying one of these desks at all? Or would you like
No, I never sit at desks. I only ever sit at pianos, and I wouldn't want the piano to move around, so I don't need one.
Okay, what about you, Steve? Would you buy one?
Probably not at that price. But I have heard of some desks that you can sit at that you push your chair away, you push a button, it actually raises up so you can stand up. Obviously, it doesn't do a lot of those other things,
okay,
and probably not at that price point.
Interesting. What about you, Jacob?
Not really, but if there was a cheaper one out there, then yeah.
All right. Jody or Hannah, what about you, Jody? Would you buy one?
You know what I did? I have a treadmill desk because I do spend a lot of time at my desk, you know, particularly online. And it was a lot less expensive than this one. And it does, I think, more cardio for you. I'm not sure.
All right.
So, yeah, that seems like a little bit of a hefty price tag. I'd rather buy another motorcycle.
I think the price is way prohibitive.
Yeah, it's too much for a desk just to rip off. What about you, Paul? Would you buy one?
If it did a little bit more, like had an actual computer screen built in or something like that, I think it would be worth it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It had some more tech stuff in it. Okay, Jay, next story.
Well, you know that expression, I could say I was wrong, but I was only mistaken. Apparently, Bill Gates finally caved into pressure, and he admitted that the Control-Alt-Delete, that's a mistake.
Wow.
It may seem a little bit harsh, but apparently they had originally wanted a single button. The guy who did the IBM keyboard design didn't want to give them a single button. So that's why they did the Control-Alt-Delete. And Bill Gates admitted this at a Harvard fundraising campaign. It was a mistake.
All right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Andrew, what's your view on that?
Two views on that. The first one is, isn't it great that Bill Gates can stand back and say, you know what, we got that one wrong. I mean, in all honesty, Windows, Microsoft, Windows 95, they got a hell of a lot of things right, but it's fantastic that he can stand back and go, you know, we didn't get that quite right. But if that was I don't like the idea of Control-Alt-Delete being a single key, because I think a lot of people who aren't as savvy would hit it by accident and be not sure what they've actually done. So it's great that, but look, saying that, Control-Alt-Delete, back in the day, I used to do a lot of tech support for friends, family, and things like that, and you try and explain that to somebody over the phone who's not computer efficient or savvy, and it takes 10 minutes. So yeah, it's a good thing that at least they can say it probably wasn't quite right.
Yeah. All right, what about you, Hannah?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I've seen guys walking around with T-shirts that say Control-Alt-Delete on it, so I'm all for it. I grew up with it. To me, Control-Alt-Delete's really, really normal, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, good stuff. All right, Paul, what about you?
I really don't have anything to say on this one.
You don't? Okay. All right, let's move on then. Jacob, what about you?
Yeah, it's a good idea because sometimes I'm using my keyboard, the way it's set up, I can actually bump it.
Okay. All right. Well,
and I agree with Hannah with the shirts. It sometimes means they need a little bit of a reboot.
I think I've seen a few T-shirts well with that on it as well, around somewhere, I'm not sure where, but I have seen them. Jody, what about you?
I think there's some people I'd like to use Control-Alt-Delete on.
Who like?
Just because.
No comment.
No comment.
It's kind of open-ended.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Steve, what about
you? So anyway, other news.
Yes, go ahead. We're going to ask Steve or... Hang on. Steve, what about you?
Oh, yeah. I guess something real quick to say. Of course, with that news item, it's primarily talking about for logging in. Of course, in the past, when you use Control-Alt-Delete, it would restart the computer. But pretty much once you get to the login screen, it's not really going to reset your computer. Even if you're logged into your account, it'll just bring up some more windows.
Cool. All right, Jody, next story.
In breaking news, Facebook is letting users edit their posts after the fact.
I love
this change.
Huzzah!
Yay!
Breaking my gosh, it's groundbreaking.
Maybe you can write a song about this, Hannah.
Hey?
Maybe you can write a song about this.
No, thanks, Brad.
About Facebook or maybe?
No.
Okay. You don't like Facebook?
They don't need my free publicity.
Okay. Andrew, what about you? Do you like this edit post, mate?
I don't know why they haven't had it before now. It's ridiculous.
They kind of did.
Well, but when you go on your mobile particularly and you go up and you go to edit and it's like you can delete, you can copy. I don't want to copy.
Yeah, that's
coming. And then as soon as you got like 5 comments. But I understand why they didn't. Like you could have 50 comments and then you can edit it and totally change the context. So I can see that point, but yeah.
That's coming to iOS, by the way, very soon. So you can do that on the app as well. Yeah. Jacob, what about you?
Well, I think it's a good idea, but it sucks it's not on iOS yet.
Well, give it a chance, man. I just said to you it's going to be on there next soon, so just give it a chance. Put,
I know. It's only on Android, it looks like.
Yeah, let's not go there. Paul, what about you?
Like Craig says, it's a bag of hurt.
Okay. Paul, what do you think about this new edit thing?
Well, I have wanted to always edit my posts, and not having to do it on the mobile has always made me a bit grumpy. So the fact that I can now do that is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Steve, what about you?
Well, I got really two things to say about that. For one, hell really does freeze over. That's number one. And, part two is... I think it's great because a lot of times you get employers like to look at like Facebook and you put that one couple of posts in there that you might not want your employer to see. So you can go in there, you can delete it. So yeah, I think it is a good thing.
All right.
Can I just add, Brad, firstly, if you need to edit a post anywhere, it's going to be on your mobile because you're hitting those little keys and it's so easy to make a mistake. So if there's one place to put an edit, it's on the mobile. And secondly, I can't believe we've just spent 6.5 minutes talking about the fact that you can now edit a post on Facebook, which is just...
Well, it's new.
Something that should have been there the whole...
Well, no, it's an innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah, not from our bad. It's just something like since 1985 should have been able to edit something.
Well, blame Facebook. Though. I'm not sure why they didn't have it there in the first place. That's just stupid. Just adding it now. It's just a stupid idea. Who haven't I asked yet, Andrew? Have I missed anyone? No, I haven't. Jody, next story.
Okay. Well, you know, Apple recently released iOS 7, and this week they came out with an update, iOS 7.02.
All right.
Not in this story, but in other news, there have been some reports of people who are becoming, they feel like they have some vertigo from looking at the screen, the way the icons fly in. And some people are conjecturing that Apple went a little bit too far in the animation and special effects in the new iOS 7. The new update, it took a lot less time for me, at least, to load. But what it does, apparently you could bypass the lock screen and get into the information. So it fixes that bug. And it reintroduces a Greek keyboard option for passcode entry, which I'm sure you all were dying for.
That's fantastic, Jody.
I read that in the notes. There's like 3 things that it does, and one of them is Greek keyboard. It was like, really?
That's just. I know, you need that, right?
So totally. let's go to Paul first on iOS 7. What's your view on iOS 7 since you've had it made and the update?
Well, iOS 7 to me is cool,
okay.
But the update obviously is just a security update. It really doesn't affect most of us.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a security issue to begin with until I saw this update.
Mm.
So
what do you think about all the new security things that are coming up about iOS 7? Do you believe it or not?
Well, they're going to find things around it. Like, they're going to try to figure out ways to get around it and all that sort of stuff. But I read one that was interesting a few days ago, something about it's impossible to cut off a severed finger and actually unlock an iPhone.
Mm.
So no one could actually... So see if they actually stole your iPhone 5S or something, they wouldn't be able to cut off your finger and open the phone because as a... Was it a bio... it somehow detects that there's movement under your skin. So if there's no blood flow, it'll just, it won't scan
Seriously?
Your finger.
Seriously? Yeah. That's disgusting.
It is very disgusting.
That's really, that's what my
test biometric, well. Biometric or something.
Biometric,
like
that. Biometric, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he can give him his finger back now.
All right, Andrew, what about you? What's your view on this?
I'm just a little surprised that the iOS 7, I don't know if it was just me, but it felt like they did a whole lot more beta testing, a lot more people had access to it. So I'm kind of surprised that the lock screen and the security and things, that a couple of things weren't noticed sooner in what looked like quite an exhaustive beta process. So I'm a bit surprised that there were a few things there that they let slip.
Hey, mate, we were in a hangout the other day with me, Jacob, and Craig and Vincent. You should have heard the argument between Vincent and...
I was in there. I was in that hangout.
Oh, yeah, well, you were you? Okay. You were, okay. Man, that was full on.
It was pretty funny. But at the end, Craig and Vincent both sort of smiled and said, wow, that was cool. You know, they had totally differing opinions. So it was great that people can have a differing opinion.
Exactly.
And sort of be like constructive at the end and off you go.
Exactly. Jacob, what about you? What's your view on this?
Well, I like any update. It just makes it better and faster for me.
So are you an Apple fanboy now or not?
Yes.
Good stuff. Jody, are you an Apple fan? I know you are, but you have iOS 7?
Yeah, I have iOS 7 and 7.02, and I didn't really see a big difference. You know, I ordered the new phone, and it's kind of funny, I guess, in my humble opinion. The new operating system is cool. I have a 4S right now, and it... In my opinion, again, it runs a lot slower on iOS 7.02 now than it did on the previous version. Well, it's kind of neat that Apple is offering these upgrades to people with older technology. I think it also points out the fact that you need to upgrade your device, because if you want to stay current and stay, you know, able to do all of the new apps and all the things that are coming down the pike, you really need the better technology. And the 5S is screamingly faster than the 4S.
Definitely, definitely. Andrew, did you notice any difference when you went from the 4S to the iPhone 5 with the size and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I did. It's definitely quicker. I mean, the 4S really, for me, has been a fantastic device. But certainly, as Jody just said, there's a big speed difference, even from going from the 4S through to the iPhone 5 that I felt. So, as you said, Jody, I mean, it is one great way of getting people to move on from older technologies. I mean, my technical developer is actually still running an iPhone 3G, so he's got, I think, the 3GS or something. So he's getting my old 4 or 4S, but he said it does what he needs. And the thing is, he said, yeah, it runs a little bit slow, but he's never used a 5, so he doesn't know what slow is, because to him, that's just how his phone runs. I think he's still on iOS 5, so that's just how his phone works.
Jeez, unbelievable. Good on him. So next thing, Andrew, we need to get you off Vodafone onto Telstra.
I've got about 8 months left on this contract, and I will throw the thing at the wall.
Oh yeah,
absolutely,
definitely
over Vodafone. Yeah.
Vodafone sucks, mate.
You know, without, I don't want to put a company down on there per se, but I'm going to anyway.
It's just unacceptable.
Their network is not what they say it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Jody, what about you, Steve?
As far as the new iOS 7, of course. What Jody was just talking about, it was just a minor update. Obviously, the Greek keyboards, which I'm sure most of us are not going to use. Of course, there was a bug fix where you can bypass the lock screen. So if you have your code in there, it could actually bypass that as well. For some people, that would be an issue. So it's good to see at least they fixed that.
Good stuff. All right, Jody, next story. Oh, Hannah, sorry, Hannah. What's your view on that story? Sorry.
I've got iOS 7. I'm running it on the 4S. I haven't noticed anything to do with speed. It seems to be running fine to me. I really love... Well, we're talking the original story talking about people getting vertigo from looking at the pictures. I'm lucky. I don't suffer from vertigo. I love the way it looks, and I love the zooming in and the zooming out. My contract... I'm with Vodafone. My contract runs out in November, and I was thinking about what phone am I going to get next, and I was thinking about maybe the new Samsung, the Galaxy Note 3, and I was even fantasizing maybe I might get the watch, the smartwatch that comes with it. But now, I don't know, the iOS 7, it looks really good. I've had bugs I've got two issues. One is that I've had a bug with my contacts. All my names suddenly disappeared out of my address book, and I went and checked my iCloud settings and realized that for some reason a whole lot of the everything that I was sending to iCloud was just all switched to off.
Wow.
Which was a little shocking. So I had to set all the iCloud sync things again. And then my contacts came back, but a bunch of them have become unsynced. And where I had put customized ringtones, they're all gone from my contacts. Wow. So I'm pretty annoyed about that. The last thing is that so now we've got the control center where you swipe up from the bottom, and I'm really angry because I know that Samsung has had this for like at least 3 years, maybe 4 years, and it's just one of those things where Apple are like, and now behold, we have the control center. Bow down before your lords. And I'm just like, you should have fucking given us this. Sorry, I swore. 3 years ago. I'm just so annoyed because just like Apple, they withhold everything that I just can't believe that we've lived without the control center for the last 3 years. It's ridiculous, yeah. And it's another reason. It's part of my love-hate relationship with Apple. Hate you, Apple.
There you go, Hannah Silver.
But she loves you too.
That was well said, Hannah. That's like the Oscar moment of Tech Webcast.
It is. It is indeed. She gets a reward. Jody, any other news stories?
We have a couple more. One that is kind of newsy, but I don't know how interesting it is, about Microsoft building their own cloud gaming service. Apparently, they demonstrated a prototype of the service during an internal company meeting. Sources familiar with the meeting revealed that they demonstrated Halo 4 running on a Windows phone and PC. Again, I mean, they've got a long way to go, in my humble opinion. But apparently Microsoft is building the service as a way to stream games to their Windows devices. Microsoft's demonstration included a Windows phone, an Xbox controller attached through an accessory, and a low-end hybrid PC. Somehow it sounds very Microsoft-ish to me.
Do you care about Microsoft, Andrew, or do you hate them? Or do you like them?
I like Microsoft. I don't like them at the moment, if that makes any sense, but I like what they've done, where they've been, that they're always in there throwing a punch, even if they're on the canvas. Mm. But the thing that annoys me is Windows Phone. I mean, I can't see that Windows Phone is ever going to be relevant. I think Microsoft needs to look at where they can win. They need to pick their battles to win the war, and their Windows Phone is not one of those. They need to look at maybe even what they're doing now, going from this Xbox and trying to create a gaming ecosystem. Have it work on Android. Have it work on iPhone. No one in the world is going to have an Xbox and a Windows Phone and use Hotmail and not use any other service like Microsoft sort of want you to do. I think they need to be a lot more open and accepting of their competitors to try and build an ecosystem that works with everything, that can build up a game.
Good answer. Paul, what's your view on this story?
Well, I think it's been done before. Like, for instance, OnLive was the first people to do the whole on-cloud gaming sort of thing, and that sort of didn't take off worldwide, only stayed in the US, as far as I know. And I don't even know if that's still around, the online service. And then you've got NVIDIA trying to do the same thing, so with their, the little Android gaming thing. Shield, that's it. So they're doing the same thing with Steam. So I think if they try this, they're going to have to bring something really unique to the table, because you've got NVIDIA that's actually got support for Android. So basically they've got Steam support as well. So you can do this whole streaming gaming thing from your PC at the moment from Windows, which is essentially what they're doing with the Xbox. So they've already made it a little bit more ahead with NVIDIA, because it's running Android and it's running off a PC in this case. So I do think they have to sort of do a lot more than just streaming from the Xbox or something like that.
Mm.
So there's a long way to go with Microsoft. And Microsoft, they do something, then they go for it, and then at some point they fail. For instance, what's a good example? Zune. You've got other things Yeah, tablets, Surface, you know, with RT on it.
They all suck. In my book, I hate it. So, Paul, what's your view on the iPhone 5S you got the other day, mate? Is it your main iPhone now or what? Or HTC One?
I still switch between them. It's sort of really hard to focus on one at the moment.
How come you haven't came back to Apple for full time?
Sorry?
How come you haven't came back to Apple full time?
Well, mainly because I'm trying to test Android applications. So I'm mainly using the Android phone for testing applications.
Okay.
That I, cool. Sorry?
I said, cool, that's good stuff, mate. Good to see you using both. Steve, what's your view on that story?
Of course, Microsoft has done cloud computing before actually quite well on some of their services like Azure, which is really kind of transparent because they also sell cloud services to other companies like Apple for a lot of their downloads and so forth. Of course, computerized gaming, that's totally different, and a lot of stuff that Microsoft has done recently in the past hasn't worked out. I have to see how they're going to implement this cloud-based gaming system. Supposedly they're going to use this with the Xbox One. It's going to be interesting to see how that works. I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical, but I guess we'll see.
What's the price on the Xbox One? Do you know, Steve?
Oh, not really.
It's 600 in Australia.
Is it really 600, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to get one, Paul, or are you going to stick with the PS3 or whatever it is, PS4?
Well, I hardly touch my PS3 at the moment. So there'd have to be really something.
I got a GTA 5 the other day. It's a good game.
Have you played that game? Xbox.
You like it or?
Well, I'm waiting for the PC version to come out.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're a PC gamer. Hannah, what about you? Do you love Microsoft or do you hate it? Hannah? Are you there?
It's the mute button, Hannah.
Okay, let's go to Jody.
Yeah, she was so overwhelmed with her soliloquy that she...
Let's go to Jacob for a minute. Jacob, what about you? Do you like Microsoft, or have I already asked you?
No, you didn't.
Okay, go ahead, mate.
You did. I like Microsoft. It's just sometimes they can get buggy as hell.
Yeah.
But I can work through it.
Once you go Apple, you never come back, mate.
Hey, that's why I have iDevices.
Exactly. So you must love the iDevice. So how come you haven't got an Apple computer yet?
Someone has to give one away to me.
Well, you don't ask me, mate, because I won't be giving you one. Maybe ask Andrew. Hannah, you there?
Yeah.
What's your view on Microsoft?
I don't really have anything to add. I grew up on Microsoft, but I haven't used anything Microsoft for the last 3 years or so.
Cool, good stuff. All right, Jody, any other news stories?
Well, I mean, probably in the biggest news of the week, Google celebrated their 15th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they had a whole host of things that they introduced. The story that is in our notes has to do with their press release in a small suburban house where the garage is, where ostensibly the company was founded. So, while that's an interesting story, I think what's even more interesting is all of the innovations that were announced, that Google announced for celebrating their 15th anniversary. They have 41 new features. They have some impressive stats about the popularity of their applications. They even had a Q&A session with Larry Page. There was no new Android launch, and there was some information about Google Glass, but basically, in a nutshell, what they came to the market with was a Google Plus redesign and new photo features. I don't know if you guys have played with that.
Google Plus redesign? Where's that? I haven't got that yet.
He's jealous. Well,
the photo editing features have been out for a few weeks now.
Oh, is that new?
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, it's kind of like Snapseed sort of stuff.
Oh, that's boring. What about you, Andrew? What's your view on that?
Google is growing up.
Oh, it's in the terrible teens.
I think it's really nice that they've done it from the garage where they were founded. I think that sort of brings them back to, it's not just this multi-billion, trillion, squillion dollar corporation. This is actually a few guys who from a garage decided, let's do something today. So I think that's cool. That's kind of nice that they still have that.
Yeah, I agree. That's really, very cool. Jacob, what about you?
I haven't read much of the story, but I think it's a pretty good thing.
You put the story in there, mate. Why didn't you read it?
Well, I read some of it.
Wow.
Okay, well, you know what? I think, though, that the biggest announcement, the biggest change right now that they announced has to do with this thing called Hummingbird. And this is a new knowledge graph. About 2 weeks ago, they had shut off the keyword tool. And now you can't really get information, you know, like you used to be able to go in and find out how many searches there were. Well, they kind of shut that down, and now it's completely shut down. You can't get the information of what words people were searching for. So, and they also changed the algorithm, but they're moving towards this concept of semantic search, which is fascinating. Remember we had David Amerland on at one point, and he talked about it. Well, evidently this is really the huge change that Google's moving towards. You know, it's kind of interesting if you think about the fact that they're shutting down this information source that, you know, for years we've just kind of relied upon being able to, as a, you know, an SEO to figure out what searches people are doing. Well, now you really, if you don't have that, then you really do have to be forced to share information that is relevant and, you know, important to people. So anyway, that was the Hummingbird thing is the biggest thing of their announcement.
Okay. So you're saying Google Plus is getting a redesign or just part of that photo stuff?
There are a few things with Google Plus, but really the big thing is this search change and algorithm change, and this Hummingbird change that they moved out. So what's happening with people who have business websites? You know, they're all kind of in all the, you know, like the search engine land and the search engine roundtable. All of the search industry is kind of shuddering in horror because it's like, wait a minute, we've counted on this information for years, and now suddenly it's not available? What? So what
basically this Hummingbird is, as you sort of said, Jody, you know, people type in, like a business might want to put themselves up on Google, and they type in what the keywords are, and it will tell them how many people are typing in those particular keyword searches. So then they say, okay, we want, when someone types in that word, we want to come up at the top as the paid sort of advertisement. So as you said, Jody, this Hummingbird means that they're not going to know what the high keywords are. So they might go paying for keywords that aren't being used. That means that their budget's not going to, you know, come down. They're going to have a lot of budget left, but it might also mean that it's going to massively impact their sales if they're going after keywords that don't have any activity.
Now, mind you, that's all organic search, you know, but paid search, they still will have the information available.
Okay.
All right, cool. That's good. Any more news, James?
That's it.
That's it. Let's get into some music with Hannah Silver.
Yay!
I love music.
What have you been up to of late, Hannah, since we last had you on the show?
She fixed the mixer.
Well, let's see. I can't remember exactly when it was, but I've had my EP launch.
Yeah.
So the EP is out called Let's Visit the Seaside. The song I'm doing today is not from Let's Visit the Seaside. But I had some amazing feedback, actually, if you might allow me to brag
for
a moment.
Go ahead, Hannah. It's your show.
I've had some radio play on Triple R, which is really cool. Thanks to Chris Gill and Johnny Topper for playing me. The coolest thing that's happened with my EP, which in case you don't know, an EP is like a mini album. This one only has five tracks on it. There's a guitarist. His name is Elliot Randall. He's something of a legend. Even if you don't know who he is, you've actually heard his playing. He played with Steely Dan. He played the solo on Reeling in the Years and a bunch of other tracks. And you guys know the song Fame? Fame, I wanna, you know that song?
Yeah, we know.
Absolutely.
He played the guitar solo on that as well. So he's just played with everybody.
Wow.
So he's a total legend, and I sent him my CD because we're internet friends. he's on Facebook and Google Plus. You can look him up, Elliot Randall, and buy his music. And yeah, and he and he wrote and said how much he loved it, and so that was amazing. Yeah,
that must be really cool knowing someone like him who's obviously been in and around music and in circles likes what you're doing. That's a huge, you know, tick when they would go through a lot of music and hear a lot of things. So that's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was pretty excited when that happened.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, now, so where can we get your EP, Hannah?
Can I just ask you a question?
Sorry. Sorry, Brad. Yeah.
Well, what's the music you get into, mate, by the way, just before we get into Hannah's music? Music type are you for you?
Say that again?
I was just asking Andrew, what sort of music does he listen to?
I basically listen to any kind of music. The only music that I particularly don't like is country music.
Okay.
I listen to rock, classical, pop. I mean, rock is probably my favourite. But
okay, cool. Good stuff, mate. Let's go back to Hannah. What about you, Hannah? What music do you get into?
I mainly listen to old music from the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Nice. Yeah.
I just sort of find it difficult to hear modern music that I like or is doing something new. So usually I hear modern stuff. I hear what people are doing today and I go, oh, that sounds like that music that I like from the 60s. So then I just go and listen to the music from the 60s.
So you're a Gold 104 girl.
I do listen to Gold, yeah.
Yeah, right. A bit of Gold.
It's a shame.
I've got some friends who are actually at a barbecue here today for the grand final.
Oh, yeah.
They listen to really sort of out there music, like crazy stuff. But when they get in the car, they listen to Gold. They love the oldies in the car, but you come back into the house and it's all sort of really off to the side. It's just weird. None of our friends group can work it out.
All right. Good stuff, Andrew. Jacob Jones, what about you? What music do you get into, mate, before we start getting into Hannah's music? Before she sings. Go ahead.
Everything but opera.
Okay, good stuff. Steve, what about you? Because you used to play in a band, didn't you, mate?
Oh, yeah. It was a long time ago. Of course, for a very long time, I had been into rock and heavy metal back in the 80s. Now it's kind of changed. I kind of flipped in more into jazz music. I still, of course, listen to rock occasionally.
Yep. All good music. What about you, Jody?
I like kind of like pop. You know, I mean, but I also like that kind of... it's not really country western, but it's like, what do you call it? Like country pop, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
And rock.
That's cool.
Eminem's, I'm a bubblegum girl.
Good stuff. Eminem's coming to Australia. Andrew, did you know that?
No, I didn't. But I don't mind Eminem. I don't know if I'd go to a gig, but I don't mind his music.
I love his music. Okay, Hannah, let's get into some music from you then.
Okay. So, I think Andrew asked before, where can you get my stuff? You can either just listen or buy at hannahsilver.bandcamp.com. And just be aware that Hannah, just to confuse you, is spelled H-A-N-N-A with no H on the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll find me everywhere. I'm everywhere like a plague on the internet. So Google me and you'll find me. So today I'm playing... A song that I wrote not long ago. It's called Super Sky. My planet collides with yours. My spirit melts with yours. Gosh, don't you know that an olive tree can't grow tangerines? My fire flies with yours. My sound
Silver, Andrew Cunningham.
Whoa, that was awesome, Hannah.
Yes, very awesome.
Good job. Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Very awesome. Very awesome.
A lot of emotion.
Some seriously random lyrics in there.
Yes. Is that going to mean that song, has it, Hannah?
Meaning?
Yeah.
When I write lyrics, I like letting words come to me. Okay. And if it sits well, I use it and I figure out what it means later.
Well done. Great song. Andrew, what do you think?
I think that was, like, I'm sitting here looking out the window and that was just such a great song to ponder life and just everything and being. And that might sound too big, but it just, that's what I was doing. I was looking out the window and random lyrics, submarines walking. I did not write it down before. Where can we get that? Where can we get your EP again? That was fantastic.
Thank you. That particular song is not on the EP, but if you like the mood and the feeling, then you'll like the EP.
Oh, yeah, great EP, yeah.
So you're lucky that you got to hear that one because it's just not anyway. Wow. The EP is at hannahsilver.bandcamp.com and Hannah is spelled H-A-N-N-A.
And that's on Google Plus as well, isn't it, Hannah? That link, all them links on the about
page? Yeah, it'll be everywhere.
All right, cool stuff. Jody, what do you think about that?
I think Hannah's an amazing talent, and I think she's just starting her journey. And I think we're incredibly lucky to be able to have you again on the show, Hannah. And, you know, for such a talent, you're just really down to earth and a lot of fun. So thank you for being here and for sharing that song with us.
Cool. Thanks for having me. It's always fun on Tech Web.
Oh, yeah, it is always fun having Hannah on. She's a legend. Jake, what about
and
you?
Creepy Doll.
Yeah, Creepy Doll, yes. Where is Creepy Doll at the moment, Hannah?
She's in the other room. She's... I've tied her up and she's really angry at me, so I had to move all the knives away from her.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're showing a picture right now, and she does still have a knife.
Be careful of that. Jacob, what about you? What do you think about that song?
I like it because I was actually feeling relaxed. I was just listening to the whole song. Okay, it's making me comfortable.
All right. So, Andrew, can we move out into Landry, mate, and talk to them people?
Probably not, because I just noticed that they're all the way on the other side and I don't think my internet's going to get that far because I'm hooked into the wire here, so I probably can't.
Okay, that's just failed then. Okay, then, Steve, Paul, what do you think about that?
Brilliant.
Go ahead, Paul, sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. It was the type of music you would really be in the moment with. I definitely thought it was very... like it's like a trance music sort of thing. You get to the point where you just everything doesn't matter outside but the song.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm. So I thought that was good.
It sounded great in my headphones. So Jody, you wanna wrap up now and final views on the show and stuff?
On the phone?
No, on the show. On the show.
What are you giving views on?
Sorry, on the show. What did I say? The phone?
Yeah,
sorry.
That's okay. I like phones. Phones are our friend.
Yeah, phones.
You know, phone isn't really a phone anymore, is it?
No, it's not.
It's a camera. Well. First, thank you all for coming on the show today. Hannah, always, you know, great talent, and you, not only are you a lot of fun to hang out with, but you know, just listening to you sing was great, and it was wonderful having everybody on. Andrew, can't wait to see what's going on with Zarfo. Paul, you didn't really talk too much about your app. I don't know if there's any news you wanted to share about it.
New design.
New design.
Well, you said you just updated it for iOS 7, right?
Yeah.
Can we bring that up in the video, Steve? So people can see.
Well, it's kind of late now. I didn't.
Well, Jacob did put a note in the show notes there. Did you not see it?
Did he? No, I must have missed it because I didn't have it on the that window.
It's a great app. You should download it and check it out and stuff. It's a good. It's a great.
Where can we get the app? Just on the App Store. What's it called?
It's called. Well, obviously my YouTube name, so it's Pico12, and it pretty much is only in the. App Store at the moment, but I'm working on an Android version.
Yeah, don't hurry with that either.
wow.
Okay, Hannah, final thoughts of the show?
I just will continue my love-hate relationship with Apple. And thanks for all the news. I'm going to look out for that sexiest thermometer. That's
as I said, there is a song. There's a song right there. I can see it now.
Yeah, there totally is. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great metaphor as well.
Okay. Hannah, are you on Twitter?
Of course I'm on Twitter.
What's your Twitter username?
Hannah Silver.
There you go, Hannah Silver.
That was a dumb.
Because the pen ran out.
What about you, Jacob?
Hey, I love being on the show every week at it actually makes me think more podcasting than other stuff.
That's fantastic, mate. Twitter, what's your Twitter username on there?
Jazzbot326691Z.
And you can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and Tech Webcast. Andrew, where can you get you at, mate, on Twitter and stuff?
And I forgot one. Okay, and Tech Luster.
Oh, yeah, who's on next week, mate? Please mention that name.
Someone from just me.
He does mobile phone apps and stuff for the iPhone, and that works with
Justin. I think his last name is Karnov.
Alexander, his name is.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, go ahead. Where can they get you at?
You can get me on Facebook or Twitter at Cunning Drew.
All right.
So I've changed my handle there, Cunning Drew, and you can also get me on zarfo.com/@Andrew.
And can people get the beta app onto their phone now at all, or can they?
Not yet. We're actually applying to Apple this week so that the beta will be available to general public within the next week or two.
Sweet. Good stuff. Can't
wait
for that.
Next couple of weeks. Mm.
That sounds good, mate. What else was there? Any else going on?
Andrew? Not really.
Okay. Who else we missed? Jody?
Thank you. You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept. And you can find me at my website, webmarcom.net. And I'm also currently going back and forth between Google Plus Week, which is another show that focuses primarily on what happened on Google Plus this week. And here at Tech Webcast, you can find me on a weekly basis as well.
It's so cool you being on two shows at one time.
It's amazing. It's like there's two of me, but exactly. Different.
So multitasking.
Amazing.
That's very amazing. Okay, Steve?
Of course, like Hannah Silver's song, I thought it was very great. And also, what you know what to give her for Christmas, a sexy thermometer. And you can find me on Twitter at chatterbox_live.
That just failed, Steve. Thanks for being on pre-chat. Thank you, Hannah, for being on.
My pleasure.
You rock.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Andrew. Enjoy the grand final, mate.
Thanks, buddy. And I will catch up with you guys all next week.
Yep, we'll do. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Hannah.
Thanks.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you.